I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned into Modus Operandi. Land barons, fiefdoms, an era of vassals, lords, freemen, and peasants. That was 13th century European medieval society, commonly known as a feudal system. All right, so that was then. This is now. So how far has modern society actually come in this capitalistic society? We'll discuss it. All right, let's get into the MO. All right, so everyone's talking about Bitcoin and these other coins these days. New crypto is being invented out of thin air every day. But that's not where the super rich are parking their greenbacks. They're buying up land. Crypto comes and goes. I mean, just look at the international FTX scandal. Stocks crash, but land? That's a safe bet. That's why for centuries, the elites around the world for generations have been buying up land as their preferred investment. Land and real property are often slow to appreciate, but slow and steady wins the race, right? Land is how generational wealth is created and how the caste system is still in place today. Modern-day land barons now rule the United States as they did in Europe centuries ago. The laws and systems in place ever since all around the world create the perfect environment to continue a feudal state in disguise. So joining us to discuss is someone who has been monitoring global trends around the world from economic forecasting to social change over the last 40 years. Gerald Salenti is the publisher of the Trends Journal, and he is now joining us out of New York. So Gerald, a 2016 study by NYU economist Edward Wolf found that the top 1% in America owns 40% of this country's non-home real estate. The next 9% owns another 42% of the real estate. So already that's 82%. The remaining 90% of the population owns just 18% of the country's available real estate. Have we quietly slipped back into the era of land barons?
Oh, it's bigger than that. You know, the numbers that you mentioned, you just keep putting them across the board. Take a look at the thing called the stock market. 1% owns 54%. You put the 10% together, they own 90%. So yeah, the bigs are buying up everything, whether it's land. You know, when I was a young guy, they used to have things called grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores. Gone. The bigs own it all. Chains, drug chains, hardware chains, grocery chains, drugstore chains. So that's just an element of what's happened to the country. And the bigs are buying it up everything, and the middle class is shrinking. A article just came out. Shares of adults in U.S. middle class has decreased considerably since 1971. And this is by Pew Research. So it's not like a made-up thing here. And you have it in front of everybody's eyes. The upper income is getting richer and the rest of the people are getting poorer.
Microsoft founder Bill Gates, through his Red River Trust, has recently become America's biggest private individual owner of farmland. He just recently bought up 275,000 acres. Now, the last time I checked, Gates wasn't a farmer, so what gives?
It's about their power-hungry venture of life. There's one after another. They're buying up everything, own everything. And look at the companies that control so much. So few control so much. You know, once upon a time, there were antitrust laws in America where the bigs couldn't own everything. So this is just an extension of who they are. And it's part of what America's become. I call us nothing more than plantation workers on the plantation of Slavelandia. And that's all it is. So again, you have to look at the whole big picture. What are you going to go to school for? What are you going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayers' money for to put somebody through kindergarten to 12th grade so they could drive an Amazon truck? So they could work at Walmart? How about they could get a job at Lowe's? So I'm just saying it's part of the whole picture. The land is just one of the many areas that they own, from equities to land. Oh, and another important thing that they own, let's not forget about it. They own the politicians. Look how much money George Soros has put into elections in the United States. You want to run for as a loser in Texas and your name is Beto O'Rourke and you spent $100 million to lose a governor's race? Where'd you get the dough from? So that's what it is. This isn't a land of the free anymore. It's the land owned by the bigs at every different level. I forgot the banks, how few banks own most of the bank money in America.
So, Gerald, America's two top landowners are telecom baron John Malone. He owns 2.2 million acres. Then media mogul Ted Turner, he owns a cool 2 million acres. He's coming in second. But internationally, they've got nothing on the late Queen Elizabeth II, whose total global land ownership comes in at a staggering 6.6 billion acres. That's with a B, billion. So by contrast, King Abdullah of Jordan owns only about 550 million acres. So the late queen, I mean, maybe now that gets passed down to King Charles, I don't know how that works, but she was far and away the world's biggest private landowner. What does this say about how far we've actually come in our economic system? I mean, we say it's capitalism, but when you assess the land, this looks like feudalism.
Yes, when you assess the land, it is feudalism, and the land is only just one part of it. It's a feudal system. Again, you have 1% in the United States owns 54% of the equity markets. Look what happened when the queen is dead. Like, it's a big deal. You know, she's better than the rest of us. If your mother, father, sister, brother, friends die, who cares? Oh, but if you're a celebrity or a queen, oh my God, you died. You know, so that's what's happened. And it's a takeover all across the globe. The rich, you don't have to believe me. How about the latest Oxfam report that just came out as the Davos meeting happened? What was it? The billionaires got how much richer? $27 trillion richer in 2 years. I want to make this really clear. This is better than the feudal system for the feudal owners, because when there was real slavery, you had to house them and feed them. This is a much better deal. Now you work for peanuts and you got just enough money to eat and live. You go deep in debt anyway, and then get back to work because we're paying you nothing. So this is the new feudal system. As I said, all we are plantation workers on the global plantation of Slavelandia. The numbers say it. Again, don't believe me, ask Oxfam.
All right, back in 2012, Scotland was pushing for independence from the UK. Now, that measure failed by a very narrow margin, but around the same time, the Scottish government commissioned a study that turned out a recommendation that the government should develop laws around what they called upper limits on land ownership by, and this is a quote, a private owner or single beneficial interest. So this recommendation was rebuked by the leading Tory party in the UK, so that fell flat. Tories saying this is counter to the Magna Carta. What do you think of development of such a law over there, maybe here, internationally?
You know, it's something worth considering. the negative end of it, though, is when the government gets involved in something, you know, it's always a losing cause for the people. So they may do something like that. You know, there'll be, you know, it never works out. What the real bigger issue is, as I see it again, it's how they've done away with so many antitrust laws all around the world, particularly in the United States. They used to have a thing called the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act. Oh, and I forgot the Glass-Steagall Act, you know, that the banksters got bigger on. So what I'm saying is we need a whole new system of thinking, a whole new system of development, because the way the situation is right now and allowing these few to own so much, it's not going to change with just a law like that. And you mentioned, for example, Ted Turner, it's CNN. Look how many companies control the entire U.S. media. What is it, 5 or 6 that control over 90% of it? Again, doing away with all those laws. Oh, and you could thank Bill Clinton for that one, the 1996 Federal Communications Act. Before that, thousands of people all across the country owned television stations, radio stations, on and on. And then the bigs started taking over everything. So again, what this is, it's a much bigger issue than the land. And most people have no idea about how much they're losing and how the few are gaining so much, whether it's land, civil rights, any other issue. Again, how could you call America a democracy when if you don't have a lot of money and you're not backed by the bigs, you're not going to win an office of any kind of significance in this country? It's all about the bottom line, and the very top owns the country. The numbers are there. The facts are there. Again, the latest study showing how the middle class in America keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Oh, and I forgot, you're talking about buying up land. How about all those, quote, investment firms that buy up the homes, almost 20% of them, and rent them out to the plantation workers because they can't afford to buy their homes? So again, it's across the board that the few own so much.
Funny you should bring up Beto O'Rourke. Beto's father-in-law is actually one of the biggest property developers in South Texas. So there you go. All right, we'll hold it right there. Coming up next, the Roman Catholic Church is scrutinized once again, this time for the amount of land that they own worldwide. We'll discuss it when we return with Gerald Celente. Sit tight, the MO will be right back.
Is unusual forgetfulness. A form of memory loss is an ability to recall past events. It can be general or concern some specific events only. In some cases, the memory loss can extend back decades. Start an intensive course of memory recovery on RT. The claims of the King of the Belgians, Leopold II, to the Congo were finally authorized by the leading European countries in 1885. In the very heart of the African continent, a state under the rule of the Belgian monarch was declared. Since the beginning, the Congo Free State was total mayhem for the local population and functioned as a universal concentration camp. The majority of the population, including women and children, were forced to work on the rubber plantations. Those who failed to fulfill their quota were beaten and mutilated. To keep the Congolese people under control, the king set up the so-called force publique, which were punitive detachments that cast terror on the captured country and its inhabitants. Fearing that their subordinates would simply waste bullets hunting for wild animals, the officers demanded that the soldiers give an answer for every bullet used, and as proof, presented a chopped hand of an African. It was not uncommon. When trying to justify the use of the ammunition, the colonists amputated the hands of not only those who were dead, but also of those who were kept alive. The atrocious exploitation of the Congo turned into a real genocide. In only 20 years, the policy of the Belgians led to the death of nearly 10 million people. Alongside the Holocaust, the genocide of the Congo population is considered to be one of the grimmest pages in the history of mankind.
Welcome back to the MO. I'm Manila Chan. So in recent years, the Catholic Church has faced a lot of backlash and criticism on allegations of sexual misconduct by its priests. But now, people are starting to notice something else. They own a whole lot of land around the world. Gerald Salente, the publisher of Trends Journal, is back with us. So Gerald, in India, outside of the government, the biggest landowner is actually the Catholic Church of India. They own tens of thousands of acres across the country. Now globally, the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest non-governmental entity to own land. They own around 70 million hectares of land. That's 173 million acres of land, if I did the math correctly. Why does a religious organization need to own so much land?
You know, it's they're not, it, the whole game has changed. Again, what are they giving back to the people? You know, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school, the whole thing, you know. And what are they giving to the people? And so there's another angle to this whole thing. And all the land that they own, they don't pay taxes. That's the other part of it. And whether it's the schools or the universities or all of these, you know, private these organizations that don't pay taxes, you know, it's a scam. And you know, in talking about, you know, what they own as well in the Catholic Church and all of that, you know, where are all the religions, by the way, with this Ukraine war going on? Where are any of them talking about peace? You know, there's a thing in America called the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Republic, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. What nation under God wants war? So the Catholic Church is about money and power. And that's all it is. They're not giving back and they own so much. But again, it's not only them, it's all of these religions and universities that keep taking in money and don't pay any taxes.
So it would appear that the wealthy look at land just like any other asset in their portfolios, but is it just another asset class, or is there more meaning behind land and property ownership?
Being a property owner is where it's at, is buying real estate. You know, real estate has its ups and downs, but in the long term, it just keeps going up. So that's why a lot of what they're buying as well, they're buying it for investment purposes, knowing that the prices are going to go up. So that's another big part of it. And you know, this is off, not what we're talking about, but very, very important because it also has to do with real estate in a different way. You know, since they launched the COVID war, more and more people are working at home. And you have an office occupancy rate in the United States, according to Castle, that's spelled with a K, at 50.4%. In Los Angeles, one of the biggest office developers just cannot pay one of their loans that just came up, they're defaulting on it. There's going to be an office building bust in this country, the likes of which you've never seen. Because people aren't going back to work. Business isn't what it used to be. So rather than having 15 floors in a building, the person will say, listen, stay home, work from home. You could come in 2 or 3 days a week. I only need 4 floors anymore. This is going to be really big. So I'm just mentioning that as a whole another aspect in thinking about real estate. Because the reason they're buying all the real estate and the land is because real estate's a moneymaker. The values keep going up. And they also know that there's going to be more and more bigs doing the farming and less of the little people. So they could get all they want for farm property and everything else. So that's why they're buying that. But I also want to put the bigger picture into it. And this isn't only going to happen in the United States. It's happening around the world, whether it's in London or Berlin, whether it's in Rome or Paris. Less and less people are going back to work. And all those businesses that depended on commuters are not going to do very good. And all those very rich that own all those big office buildings are going to do very bad. Particularly, by the way, as interest rates go up, they have to pay more on their adjustable rate loans.
Right. But for the average person, home ownership, land ownership is something that can be generational. As you know, they say, God isn't making any more land. So what do you say to that?
Well, again, land has its priority value, and particularly farmland. And you're seeing all the problems going on with weather changes and less crops coming from here and there. So they want this land for what it is. And again, the value keeps going up. You look at real estate, you know, it's a winner investment. One of the things in my life that I wish I did when I was younger was bought more real estate. I didn't start doing it till I was much older. And it's been very, very beneficial. So the populations are huge. You have to feed the people, and they're buying up all of this farmland because they know the value of it. And the value, you know, the value may dip for a little bit, you know, when you have recessions and depressions, but long term, it just keeps going up. So the more they own, the richer they get. And they love being very rich because look at the peanuts that they give back to the people. We're having, you know, worth $120 billion, $18 billion. Hey, here's a couple of pennies. I'll call it, you know, donations. So they're power hungry and hungry for money. So they're doing it for themselves.
Now, speaking of portfolios, REITs, these real estate investment trusts, they own over 15 million acres of timberland across the U.S., around 503,000 properties that include things like apartment buildings, hotels, businesses, commercial office buildings, and so forth. Collectively, according to NAREIT, the National Association of REITs, REITs own around $4.5 trillion in gross assets across this country. And this number is only growing. The REIT argument is that this allows people to invest in real estate without having to actually be an owner-operator of a property. But on the flip side, doesn't the growth or popularity of REITs actually increase the number of these, of the so-called permanent renter class?
The permanent renter class is the new way of America. You have young people more and more. You look at the numbers, they're moving in with their parents. You know, when I was a young guy, boom, you wanted to get out of the house and have your own apartment. Can't do it anymore unless you get a couple of friends with you as well. And again, these REITs and what you're talking about, again, when I was a young guy, there were no REITs. There were no private equity groups. There were no hedge funds. This is all new. There were no investing capitalists. This is all new. And so they're controlling more and more. Again, look at the Blackstones buying up all of those homes and these other groups and then renting them out to the people because they know they can't afford to buy them. This is the new way of America. And again, as I said earlier, it's not only in this sector. It's from grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores. They're owned by chains. And so the chains own everything, and the people are nothing more than plantation workers that are owned by the chains. And again, the politicians sold out the public with all of their deregulations of the laws that were put in place, the antitrust laws and others that would prevent this. But the reason that the politicians did it, it's a thing called what morons and imbeciles call campaign contributions that adults and people that could think for themselves call bribes and payoffs. So through the bribes and payoffs, they've destroyed what America used to be, as my ancestors called it, the land of opportunity.
So once part of the so-called American dream, it was to own a home, a small plot of land. That seems increasingly more difficult, if not impossible, to reach. Is the American dream dead?
The American dream is dead, and it's been killed in a number of ways, not just through the deregulation of all of these antitrust acts that made the bigs own everything. But it's also, it's America's mentality. The business of America is war. And that's where they're putting the money into it. They're not putting it into the people, into the, look at the infrastructure of the country rotting in front of us. You like that train derailment in Ohio? And that's, what do they have, 1,000 train derailments a day, according to the numbers? So the country's going down. This is not the America that I grew up in. And you don't have to believe me. Once upon a time, there was a man by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces in World War II. And he warns the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. We should send, what, $120 billion to Ukraine? As the people can't afford to pay their rent. I had homeless people across the street from me sitting in the doorways all over the place. Been to LA, isn't it lovely? How about I left my heart in San Francisco with all the homeless people all over the place? No, they've destroyed America in so many different ways. And the countless trillions of dollars that have been spent by the war machine, the military-industrial complex that Dwight D. Eisenhower also warned about us on his farewell address on January 17th, 1961, have taken over the country. Oh, you don't have to believe me. Look at the guy that's playing our defense secretary, Lloyd Austin. What was his last job? Oh, he sat on the board of directors of Raytheon, the second largest defense contractor in America, and now he's our secretary of defense. So no, the American dream has been killed by war. It's been killed by war and by politicians who are only concerned about themselves and not we the people. And it's also the problem of we the people, because they don't stand up and fight. And so it's the people of, are getting what they're being fed, and they're not standing up. So it's comes from both sides.
Gerald, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us. Also, tell everyone how they can find more of your work.
You could go to trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com, so you could read history before it happens.
Thank you for that, Gerald Celente. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next time to figure out the MO.